Hi, welcome to Bookie, which unlocks big ideas from world bestsellers in audio, text, and mind map. Please download Bookie at Apple Store or Google Play with more features. Get your free mind snack now. Today we will unlock the book, Hood Feminism, Notes from the Women That a Movement Forgot by Nikki Kendall. In this book, Kendall highlights how the feminist movement has failed minority women by treating race, class and other forms of social inequality as separate issues from gender equality, thereby turning a blind eye to those issues and their impacts. The term feminism has evolved tremendously from when it was first coined by Charles Fourier in 1837, and has taken on increasingly complex shades of meaning as women's rights have developed over time. Some perceive feminism as synonymous with the noble aspiration of equality between men and women, while others think of it as a dirty word trotted out by bitter women who hate men. In any case, we tend to think of the movement as one that focuses on issues of inequality between men and women. In her book, however, Nikki Kendall subverts this conventional understanding of the term feminism by shining a spotlight on the inequality that exists among women inside of the feminist movement. Kendall grew up in the hood, a poor neighborhood of Hyde Park in Chicago. She experienced the hardship of growing up as a young black woman, suffered through an abusive marriage, economic hardship, homelessness, and a life-saving abortion, before finally reaching where she is today, a published writer with 2 university degrees. Her collective life experiences showed her how differently the world treats minority women in comparison to white women, especially when the said woman is poor and not considered respectable. This presented her with the question, what sort of gender equality are white feminists fighting for, when equality among women is still far from being a reality? In her book, Kendall highlights the skewed narratives of minority women that white women have helped to perpetuate over the years. She illustrates the harmful effects of these narratives in real life as they manifest in the form of discrimination, oppression, and unequal socioeconomic outcomes. In doing so, she shows how women, rather than men, can be their own worst oppressors. Instead of ending on this demoralizing note, however, Kendall presents a roadmap for the feminist movement to redeem itself, so that it can be more effective going forward for all the women that it claims to represent. Now, let's look at the main points of Hood Feminism through 3 key parts. Part 1, the alternative reality of minority women. Part 2, how white feminists contribute to narratives that oppress minority women. Part 3, an intersectional approach to feminism. Part 1, the alternative reality of minority women. To understand why Kendall believes that mainstream feminism does not work, we must first acknowledge the wealth gap that exists between minority women and white women. Unlike most white middle-class women, many minority women still lack access to fundamental rights, including basic things like the right to safety. When she was only 6 years old, Kendall was accidentally caught in the middle of a gunfight after getting a haircut at a beauty shop. She could have lost her life had her grandfather not saved her. That would not be the last time she ever saw a gun, for instance. Someone would later point a gun at her while trying to rob her mother at an ATM. While gun violence is an epidemic across America, those from lower-income communities are particularly vulnerable to it. Black children and teens are 4 times more likely than white children and teens to be killed by guns. Girls, in particular, face an even bigger problem. Not only are they vulnerable to gun violence, they are also at risk of being ignored when making an effort to combat gun violence. This is because anti-gun violence programs tend to be targeted at boys, and men and girls are seen as those who merely bear witness to, rather than suffer, the consequences. Yet, in reality, black women are at a much higher risk of suffering from gun violence than other women, and this is often linked to intimate partner violence. Kendall herself has been a victim of intimate partner abuse. She was married to a man who was physically abusive to her. It was not until he pinned her to the fridge with a hand around her throat before dragging her across the floor in front of their then 2-year-old son that she finally left him. She had been lucky, however, because at least he did not own a gun. Many other women are not quite so lucky. The availability of weapons at home in a domestic violence situation makes them 5 times more likely to be killed than the average woman. While all women face this potential threat, what compounds this problem in the hood and black communities is the isolation that these communities already face. This is partly due to media portrayals of gun violence as being the consequence of blackness and poverty intersecting. It is often portrayed as a warning for people to steer clear of black neighborhoods. Furthermore, the trust that black communities have in law enforcement has also been eroded over time, and since people are unable to depend on law enforcement to protect them, gun culture inevitably developed out of necessity. Even if a woman is able to protect herself from gun violence, there are other challenges that she will still need to overcome. One of these is poverty. Kendall experienced this after she left her abusive marriage, during which she had to live on food stamps and often experienced hunger. Still, she was considered lucky because she was at least able to raise her child with social assistance. Today, many similar safety nets have been diminished to the point of becoming inadequate. In Illinois, for instance, a single parent can only claim up to $412 a month for a child under the Temporary Assistance for Needy Families scheme. As income inequality increases across racial lines, hunger is also becoming a pressing problem, particularly for minority women. Studies have shown that both gender and race influence the wage gap. While white women earn less than white men, black, Latina, and indigenous women earn less than both white women and white men. Rather than strengthening social safety nets for those who are financially vulnerable, however, society tends to regard poverty itself as a crime and sees women living in poverty as deliberately making bad choices. For instance, imagine that an impoverished mother buys a pack of chips and soda for a child. This could be because they do not live anywhere with grocery stores where they can buy fresh produce, or maybe they are unable to afford said produce. Yet when society witnesses such an act, it is always quick to attribute it to the mother's lack of nutritional knowledge, laziness, or even neglect. In addition to physical safety and financial security, access to housing is another basic right that marginalized women are unable to take for granted. This is directly related to the problem of poverty. As minority women earn less than everyone else, they have to spend larger than average proportions of their income on rent. Many women who are unable to afford it end up having to stay with other family members. While they may not end up on the streets, they are still unable to own their own homes. This kind of housing instability, in turn, perpetuates the problem of poverty, as it makes it difficult for people to go to school or work and care for themselves or their dependents. Gentrification, or the revitalization of old and usually poorer neighborhoods, is another factor that aggravates the housing problem for minority women. While it may bring about new opportunities to some, often it means the displacement of long-time, elderly residents from their own communities. Escalating rents, increased property taxes, and the conversion of modest apartments into luxury condos are all caused by gentrification. It, therefore, tends to drive prices up and forces long-term residents further into underdeveloped areas where they struggle to access basic goods and services. On the other hand, there are also intangible impacts, such as a growing sense of alienation from their own communities among the elderly, particularly elderly women whose partners may no longer be alive. Minority women find it especially difficult to break free from these predicaments because even the institutions that are meant to protect them wind up continuously letting them down. The first such institution in question is law enforcement, which fails to keep minority women safe. Every year, many women disappear from marginalized communities. According to the FBI's National Crime Information Center, despite being only 13% of the total population, Black Americans account for an average of 34% of all missing persons every year. In Chicago, there are numerous murders of Black and Brown women which go unsolved. In contrast, white women who go missing usually receive widespread media coverage, a phenomenon which Kendall terms the missing white woman syndrome. What is worse is that instead of merely failing to protect minority women, law enforcement is at times directly responsible for inflicting harm on them. While media coverage has largely focused on the impact of police brutality on black men, black women also frequently end up dead as a result of police misconduct. Rekia Boyd is one such example. While she was holding up a phone to a man's ear, an off-duty police officer wrongly assumed she was pointing a gun at that man and fatally shot her. Apart from shootings, minority women are also susceptible to sexual misconduct by police officers. In fact, this is the second most common complaint against police officers. Schools are another institution that have failed to keep young women of color safe. This problem stems partly from teacher discrimination, where some white teachers may tend to see students of color as being more prone to getting in trouble, even if this is not the case. At worst, such discrimination might lead teachers to ignore the bullying of marginalized students, and even bully marginalized students themselves under the disguise of encouraging achievement. Kendall's own son experienced this. His teacher constantly changed the rules about how he should turn in his homework, which made life difficult for him. This only stopped when she and her husband went down personally to handle the issue themselves. Students of color are also often subjected to harsher punishments for the same behavior as their white counterparts. Black students are suspended and expelled at a rate 3 times greater than that of white students, and 70% of students arrested or referred to the police at schools are black in Leidings. Such aggressive policing towards students of color deprives them of counseling services or other forms of constructive intervention and pushes them toward prison. Furthermore, the students being pushed out of school are not only disproportionately students of color, they are also increasingly female. Finally, the healthcare system is another institution which also creates many barriers for minority women. Racist beliefs within the system lead to racial disparities in treatment and patient outcomes, and unconscious biases affect the quality of care. Kendall herself has had the experience of receiving a condescending lecture from a white administrator on the right way to burp her child, due to the preconceived notion that she was not well equipped to be a parent. During her 5th pregnancy, she almost died because she could not receive an abortion despite heavy hemorrhage. Her brush with maternal mortality is not an isolated anecdote. Black mothers in the United States die at 3 to 4 times the rate of white mothers. Other marginalized groups of women, such as trans women, may also face other obstacles in accessing medical care. For instance, one of Kendall's friends who had undergone a transition was subjected to irrelevant and invasive questioning by her doctor while seeking treatment for her breast cancer. However, she still received treatment, which made her one of the lucky ones. Due to bigotry, trans patients are sometimes turned away by healthcare providers or are forced to engage with situations that can trigger gender dysphoria in order to access some level of care. This can even cause trauma or trigger mental health issues in some patients. We have come to the end of part 1. In this part, we learned of the harsh reality that minority women are faced with. We learned that things that are usually taken for granted by white women, such as being safe and having access to financial security and housing, are not a given for minority women. We also saw how institutions that should rightfully provide minority women with support can instead fail them repeatedly and prevent them from succeeding amidst difficult circumstances. Today we are just sharing limited content. To unlock more key insights of world-class bestseller, please download our app. Just search for Bookie at Apple Store or Google Play. Get your free mind snack now.
Viva la Podcast. Podcasten muss sich wieder lohnen.
Wir bieten dir kostenloses Podcast-Hosting ohne Limitierungen.
Du kümmerst dich ums Podcasten.
Und wir kümmern uns um den Rest.
Und das Beste daran, du verdienst auch noch Geld. Ab dem ersten Hörer.
Der ersten Hörerin. Besuche uns auf kostenlos-hosten.de und informiere dich.
Teure Hostingkosten müssen nicht sein. Kostenlos-hosten.de. Die Podcast-Re-Evolution.
Dir hat dieser Podcast gefallen? Dann klicke jetzt auf Abonnieren und empfehle ihn weiter. Bleib immer auf dem Laufenden und folge uns bei Twitter, Instagram und Facebook. Mehr Podcasts findest du auf meinpodcast.de.
Dieser Podcast wird vermarktet durch die Podcastbude.